roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside our beautiful home in Mountain's Edge, it's the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. And I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goz, Ari's co-host. What's up, Goz?
Hello.
You're 6 hours removed from turning 42. How do you feel?
I'm confused. Some people are saying, I don't get it.
So
when do I turn 42?
6 hours ago. That was the day. Actually, you turned 42 30 hours ago.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. When the clock struck 12, you were 42.
Okay, some people were saying the day has to complete for me to become 42.
Well, I mean, if we really want to get technical, I think you'd have to get your birth certificate out, and there's a time when you were born.
I was born at like 1 or something like that.
A.M. or no, it was P.M.
P.M.
because I played football that day. So, yeah, you're right. It was around that time. So if you wanted to get technical to complete the cycle of, you know, matching that, I guess. Maybe, but I think once the clock strikes 20, I mean, we've always known that to be your birthday. I don't think somebody could tell you happy birthday at 10 a.m. and you go, it's not till 1, dummy.
Oh, yeah. Now that person deserves to get smacked.
So, midnight. In fact, if you really want to get into it, do you like it when the people in New Zealand and Australia start wishing you, and Japan, start wishing you a happy birthday on the 22nd? Because it's the 23rd to them, shouldn't it matter when it's the 23rd to you?
It should.
When you read that, shouldn't you go, it's not the 23rd, why is he wishing me a happy birthday?
It should, but I've always liked, like for instance, when people are talking about time zones, okay? I feel like whoever initiated the conversation, you're in their world. If that person says 8 p.m., you just assume they mean 8 p.m. their time. So when that person says happy birthday, it's my birthday over there for him, cool. I'm okay with it. But I get why somebody would be like, fool, it ain't my birthday.
Yeah.
It's just, to me, it like helps
see,
funnel
your it does like, extend Lucas the birthday.
Lucas always starts my birthday off. In fact, somebody else does it every year. They're like 2 days early and they go, oh, my bad, I forgot. That always happens. I think it's like Joe from Odessa or something.
That's a spoiler
like that.
Right there.
But it cracks me up because he's lead off.
It's good to extend it. You get more time out of it. But I still feel like it's your birthday. So they should. I'm going to try a word here. Acquiesce. I don't know. They should comply and make you happy on your birthday. Because you could be sitting here on the 22nd, 6 p.m. watching the Lakers. And somebody goes, happy birthday. What if it was a text and didn't have a name? And they said happy birthday. You'd probably go, it's tomorrow. Mm. You know? But then if you found out it was Lucas, then you go, well, yeah, whatever. Me, I want to know when that person's, when I think they're awake or when I think I can start bothering them, and then I adjust.
I'm not hating on what you're saying, and actually I think you probably have a point, but it kind of cracks me up, so I'm okay with it.
I swear, if I go on my Facebook page and I start seeing some today, I'm going to be like, come on.
I still get some on your birthday.
I know.
People thinking it's my birthday.
Cousin,
and yours.
A first cousin wished me happy birthday yesterday, and I go, it's Brian. She goes, oh shoot, yeah. Yours is Saturday. Luckily, she fired that quickly.
But she still beats out some that just didn't say anything.
You had a lot of relatives that didn't say nothing.
Yeah.
Close ones, like where you're like, what happened to that guy or that gal?
Yeah, but like I don't really care. At the same time, like I think
God, Facebook makes it so easy at this point, and technology really, you don't even need the calendar that hangs anymore in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is probably there's like so many alerts, and I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of just don't care. All they do is drop a few spots in the rankings, I guess. Mm-hmm. But other than that.
La tabla de posiciones for you Spanish speakers. By the way, Spanish speakers, Hablemos MMA dropped about 2 months ago. Danny Segura, shout out to him, our colleague at MMA Junkie. He's been hosting it. Check it out. In fact, Goz and I are going to be on next week's episode. All right, so folks, we're going to talk about UFC 253 here. It takes place in, here we go, in 2 days, depending on what part of the world. But really, in 2 days, it will take place. This one, I want to clarify, is the normal start time, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific for the pay-per-view. And Goz and I are hosting a watch-along on Sportscaster. So check it out. Now, the reason I say that is because the next one, the last card on Fight Island, that one's going to start more appealing to the local time in Europe. So for us, it's going to be like an early morning, afternoon event on the East Coast and Pacific time zone. All right, folks, buckle up. It's MMA Junkie Radio on a Thursday, September 24th.
Damas y caballeros, hablemos MMA con Danny Segura.
Hola amigos, Danny Segura here. Just wanted to drop in and tell you about a new show coming to MMA Junkie. It's Hablemos MMA, a weekly Spanish language podcast dedicated to all things professional fighting. On this show, we'll be covering the biggest news and topics of MMA, plus highlighting the most relevant stories happening in the growing Latin American scene. Hablemos MMA will also feature interviews with some of the best fighters, coaches, personalities, and experts in the game. You can find us every Monday on your favorite podcasting platform, starting July 27th. Talk to you then.
I want to give a shout out to longtime listener Shango from Las Vegas. He's wished me a happy birthday about 15 times this week via Facebook, just stickers and stuff. Super nice guy. I don't mind it because he got some alert. I think he got an alert that said, here are your September birthdays. And then he gets some sort of an alert that says, here are the ones for the week. And he made a note of the fact that a lot of people have birthdays in September. Folks, do the math. Go back 9 months. The holidays, man. Our parents were getting down, you know, like Christmas parties, Christmas, New Year's. That's why you see a lot of birthdays around this time. But Shango's been very, very nice. He's been, I don't know if he's been saying it to you, Goz, but he's been saying,
Shango's the best.
Have a nice birthday, brothers. And it sucks because we used to see Shango at Mandalay Bay from time to time. But the pandemic has pretty much escorted us out the door for the time being at Mandalay Bay. We could do the show there. The doors are open, Mandalay Bay, if you want to come in and stay. They have some restaurants open. The pool's open. Still 100 degrees yesterday. And you can still gamble. But there was an adjustment that was made. There's just plexiglass dividers on certain games. There's certain limits on who can do what. I noticed that our poker room was not open, at least when I was there 2 weeks ago. But yesterday I happened to walk through the Caesars Palace, Goz, and they have a poker room, but they have the dividers. It looked kind of weird. I was going to take a picture. Go, well, I think everybody gets the idea by now. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, there's dividers. You do have to wear a mask. I want to warn you now if you want to take it up. But rooms are very affordable. Obviously, all these hotels are trying to strike up business all over again. A lot of people just don't want anything to do with it, probably half the country. And then others are slowly coming in. I don't care how brave some of you sound on, you know, whatever. When you get to Vegas, you will be confronted by people that just say, wear the mask or leave, you know, and that's across pretty much all of Vegas. Now, look, I heard that if the numbers go down, then things will soften up. But it doesn't mean that you can't gamble or just basically have a good time in Las Vegas. So come on down, folks. Like going back to what I was saying with Goz, we would have to wear our mask if we were in studio. And listen, the mask would get in the way of us talking. I'm up on the mic right now. We could probably put it below our chin, but it's a strict gaming law. And for now, I think we just have to play by the rules. And hopefully we get to see Shango and our friends down there. Buckets of beer, football. I mean, I want normalcy like the next guy.
Hopefully, yeah. You know when I feel my fattest?
When's that?
When Juliet comes down the stairs.
She glides, huh?
Yeah, when you and I go up and down the stairs, you hear this like, cuckoo, 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 cuckoo. But Juliet's like a phantom, dude. She's just kind of like, the second ago, all I could see was the top of her head just float by. going down the stairs. You wouldn't even know. It was like a ninja. But yeah. Every time I go, it's cocoon, cocoon, cocoon.
I hear you. And I have to go slower because of my knee. All right. So, Shango, thanks again for all the messages. And thank you to everybody for all the messages throughout the week. I guess Gills and I are attached in terms of being 3 days apart. So, yeah, I even got one yesterday. All right, folks. So with UFC 253 upon us, out in Fight Island, they've already kind of started doing their media day, and the three embeddeds have been released. There was a air quote confrontation with Israel Adesanya and Paulo Costa, which
friendly one.
Yeah, if you just told me they had a confrontation, I go, oh no. I would even say, is the fight still on?
Mm-hmm.
Because Costa rolls with Eric Albarracin.
Doesn't play.
Right. He also rolls with Waleed Ismail.
Definitely doesn't play.
Right. And the Pitbull brothers are also kind of part of that crew, although I don't think they came over, you know, like to Yaz Island. They also don't play. Yeah. And then on Israel's side, he's got a couple teammates. He's got Brad Riddell, Kai Kara France. I feel like there's one more cat that might be part of that group. So they're rolling deep with all their coaches and stuff. But they had a confrontation and no, they shook hands and I think teased each other. Costa walks around at 220. He's certainly not 220 right now. But when he walks around 220, he still looks pretty jacked. So, anyway, so far so good. I think the quarantine is over. Like, they all left here, I think, Sunday morning after the fight. After the Covington-Woodley card, they all left here at Sunday morning, like at 6 a.m. And they traveled all day, 15-hour journey. And then when you check into the hotel, they test you, and then they say, now go to your room and don't come out for 48 hours. They did it to John Anik, John Morgan, all the fighters, all the UFC staff, and they're just playing it safe. However, once you're cleared, you are now in a radius of, I think it's technically 9.7 miles. I was reading up on it yesterday, but we'll just round it off to 10. Where you're basically on one side is the ocean, and then there's Ferrari World and the hotel itself. But pretty much anywhere in that little bubble is, we believe, coronavirus free.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So and the heat is still humid. It's still hot, but nothing as bad as July, they're saying. I think people are going out for nice, friendly walks. And
so let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Did Costa and Adesanya's friendly confrontation make you want to watch that fight any less?
No.
Even if it's 1%. No. It did for me.
Come on, really?
I was fired up.
They're, you know, both like, undefeated. Like, and
foaming
both,
at the mouth.
You know, they're both undefeated. This is world title fight. Like, they like to strike first before they go to the ground. So, I mean.
Remember Adesanya and Romero? Wasn't the best fight in the world.
Well, that was even better. It sucked that night, but it was better because I think a lot of these fighters, they can say what they want. Hey, he's tough. It was tactical. I defended my title. They can say what they want on fight night, but I know they go home going, God damn, why has my Instagram count not gone up?
Why am I getting booed?
Why did I get booed? Why am I getting these unfriendly messages? Trust me, it messes with them. And so they want to not make up for it, but I mean, well, yeah, kind of make up for it. You know, I mean, that doesn't mean that he's going to start off by running at him like Fabricio Werdum, you know, with that flying knee or nothing like that, or a la Masvidal. But I think, well, who knows, man? Didn't Anderson Silva have back-to-back snoozers? Was it Maya and Patrick Cote or something like that? Like, I mean, he went through a little spell. I guess it could happen, man. And it's not like Anderson wasn't exciting. But I don't know. I think Costa's the perfect dance partner. See, Maya is not Costa. No disrespect to Damian Maya, future Hall of Famer. But Maya doesn't have the stand-up, so he was always looking for a certain opening to get the fight to the ground. Cote, yeah, he liked to throw hands, but I still think Costa comes in with way more buzz and momentum than Cote when he got to his spot. So and Costa does go forward, so I'm pumped up, man.
But I was foaming at the mouth. Now I'm just pumped up.
What happened?
It just reminded me a little bit of like the Woodley touch of gloves. Like, I was sold something for a long time, and it apparently wasn't that, you know? So I just took a step back. I was fired up. Now I'm just like, I still can't wait to see this fight, but I don't feel like I'm watching the same thing.
Really?
Yeah. They left me with the impression that you cannot put these two in, like, don't even put them in the same hotel because they hate each other. The UFC put them, like, on the same floor or something, apparently, right? If these two guys are just walking into each other like that. And then for them to just kind of be friendly like that, like, I was just kind of like, well, wait a minute. This isn't what you've been selling me.
You want a little bit more of the DC Jones, like those guys when they pass through the hallway? Yeah.
I want something like that. Like, I wanted to feel that momentum the whole week.
Haven't you in the past said, oh, man, those guys that are quiet, those assassins, they're scary. Maybe Izzy's just being an assassin. Like, I don't need to do that. I did it to hype it up. They'll show it before Saturday plenty of times on a continuous highlight reel or promotion reel or whatever. But I do my work on Saturday, and I'm not here, you know, to disrupt this whole nice 5-star hotel. I mean,
yeah, I didn't need them to, like,
you saw what happened with Vittori, right? With Vittori, yeah. It was kind of like, come on, Marvin, like, that's a bit much. Relax already.
Even them walking past each other, and one of them telling them, like, I got you, you know, you're coming to an end this weekend. Your O's going. Something. I don't need them to shove each other or get in each other's face or anything like that. It was just the reverse of what they had been selling us.
Costa picked it up on the media.
Yeah.
He kind of made note of, oh, well, look who's Mr. Friendly all of a sudden. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But Costa had his chance at that moment to say something to him. I don't know. Something about the pandemic, I just...
You know how a softy?
No. It's not that. You know, over here in Vegas, I kid you not, goes the last, what they have, about a 7-show run since they came back from Fight Island or something like that? Didn't we average, like, losing 2-3 fights just for the dumbest reasons out there?
Yeah.
Whether it's somebody's teammate... Or that somebody themselves, or a positive, negative. We can't figure it out. We're playing it safe. The random little injuries or weight cuts. And I'm like, man, I just want to get through some of these fights. So that's why I'm giving them a pass. Not the softy part. I hope they shove each other. But see, it's not even a weigh-in in front of people. But still, I just hope they have good face-offs, good, maybe a little shove. Never had too much of a problem with that. But I don't know. I it could be that Dana White says, hey, listen, there's not many places to go right now. These people are our hosts. I really need you guys to kick it down, please, when you see each other, because we really don't have other options. This is going to be our host for the next 5 weeks. I'd hate to have an MGM incident or I don't know. I mean, you're right. I would have preferred that not happen, but I don't think it scaled it down, because every time I turn around, I still stare at these. Look at these records, goes. These are mouth-watering records. 19-0 Israel Adesanya. Costa 13-0. Costa, I think, is 5-0 in the UFC. Adesanya 9-0 in the UFC. Neither guy's lost. Both guys think they're invincible. You know what I mean? Two well represented countries. You have originally born in Nigeria, Israel Adesanya, proudly flying the New Zealand flag. And New Zealand and Australia are they got two champions. The New Zealander, Adesanya, and the Australian, Volkanovski. And then Paulo Costa, he saw his homie, Davison Figueroa, same manager, by the way, win a world title recently. And then Amanda's been holding it down on the ladies' side. But I think Brazil would love to have another champion. So
I'm still down. It's just kind of took away a little bit from me.
All right. Fair enough. How about Dominic Reyes and Blachowicz?
I don't want to say that. The situation, there's not much that can come out of it. What about the
fact that Jones isn't there, and these two, arguably, one of them will have a belt, but we'll all still kind of go, well, Jones is still the number one.
Well, I was hoping eventually we would get into this, because Reyes does not like being attached to John Jones, and I don't blame him, but there's just no way around it. And the fact that he just fought him, you know, there's just really...
And did well.
There's no way around
beat
it.
Him.
So the media asked him that, you know, how are you going to feel if you have that belt? Is it going to feel like a real belt? And he kind of told everyone to F off, right? Like, hey, this is the belt. It's mine. I'm not going to have any feelings like that. I kind of call bullshit a little bit. Like, how could you not? You know, like, I think that he deserves it. I think he should feel like a champion. I do. But I do feel like deep down inside, it's human nature to kind of go, man, this would feel so much better though if I would have took it off that fool. You know, like,
oh yeah,
you got to be saying those things. There's, I think this there's would be no his
first
way.
Title defense. But he's got something in his mind. He feels like he beat him that night.
One judge,
it was unanimous, sorry. A lot of media thought he won.
I thought he won.
Jones limped out of there. And then what that fight took place in like February or March, if I'm not mistaken. He could feel like this guy ran to the heavyweight division because he knows I got something for him. And if he believes it, that's it. It's over. You're not changing his mind. Blachowicz hasn't fought John Jones. Now, if this was Teixeira versus Smith, then yeah, I think both guys would be crushed at a question like that. I think they would answer it, kind of going through the motions, saying what they need to say. But in reality, the truth would probably be, you know, what the question was, would you really feel complete unless you maybe hope he comes back or maybe you move up to heavyweight and meet that guy at some point? I don't know. But I mean, DJ lost his belt. Well, DJ went to one. He lost his belt. The guys that, like, Henry retired, but Peter Yan, he never fought Cejudo, so he feels like a champ. He, man, get this, goes, the champ left, and he fought someone coming off a loss to become champ. I wonder how he feels.
There's a lot of people that don't even feel like a champ until they defended their belt. You know, there's so many ways of looking at it. But I think to go above and beyond and just kind of be like, are you crazy? Like, I think that's a little too much because I think a lot of people would kind of have that feeling. And it's okay. And like I said, I do feel like he would be the champ. Like, I would tell everybody, hey, just leave him alone. There's nothing he can do, right? But to say that deep down inside it doesn't bother you, I don't know if I believe that.
Yeah, I would agree. Moving on. That's the two title fights on Saturday. Goz and I will be hosting a watch-along, a UFC 253 watch-along on Sportscaster, SPORTSCASTR. There's no E in caster. www.sportscaster.com/MMAJunkie. 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Saturday the 26th. We'll probably dip in a little early, and you can watch the fights along with us. You can either, if you're watching the pay-per-view, you can either turn down the volume and listen to us or switch back and forth, or you can keep us on mute and say, look at those two little Muppets just talking there and listen to Anik and the boys. We won't hate you either way. But if you're not getting the pay-per-view, then we can be your eyes and ears instead of going to Twitter, which if you do, go to MMA Junkie. But why not listen to us and we will tell you in real time exactly what's happening. So have fun with that. It's going to be fun. You can pop open some drinks and have some food like we will be on Saturday watching these two title fights. And we got Kai Kara France versus Brandon Royval, Caitlin Vera versus Sajara Eubanks, Hakeem Duwadu versus Zubara Tukagoff, Brad Riddell versus Alex Da Silva. Diego Sanchez has still got gas in the tank. He's got Jake Matthews, Shane Young versus Ludovic Klein, William Knight versus Alexa Kamer, Jeff Hughes versus Juan Espino, and Kadis Ibrahimov versus Danilo Marquez. Let me see here. I just want to glance at the odds. They're all pretty evenly matched. Espino's minus 300. De Hughes is plus 250. After that, I see a lot of hundreds, 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 hundreds. Jake Matthews goes minus 750 to Diego's 525. Riddell minus 340 to Alex Da Silva's plus 280. And after that, hundreds, hundreds, hundreds. Kai Kara France minus 240 to Brandon Royval's plus 200. Dominic Reyes minus 290 to Blachowicz's 245. What Blachowicz do to get insulted like that?
I think
that's
it's
pretty big for a title fight. Against maybe the guy that won five straight and knocked out Corey Anderson on the way in.
290.
I guess somebody that's listening would probably go, fool, you just finished saying that Reyes went arguably beat Jones. So I get it.
I think 250 is where I would have put that one. Yeah. But But yeah, it does seem. I'm actually really excited for that Matthews and Sanchez fight. Just because of the pace that those two keep, I think it's going to be really, really fun. But yeah, 750 or whatever you said, that I think that's a little too much.
What does get scared with these veterans like Cowboys and Diego's is when they do get hit and they kind of just put that cowering move, not coward, just they kind of cower and cover up and then they take a couple shots. If that happens in the first couple seconds, I'm like, oh, Diego, why are you doing this still? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But then sometimes they get hit and they wake them up and then boom, we have ourselves a fight. I've just seen slow reactions out of Rashad and Cowboy, Woodley the other day. Now, hopefully not Diego, but what's his face? The Capoeira guy that was lighting him up. I forget his name all the time. Whatever his name is. I'll look it up. He,
starts with an M.
Here it is. He just fought recently. He's looking better, by the way.
Hey.
He's really, Michel Pajeda.
Yeah.
That guy.
I'm not cracking a joke here, but there are certain fighters where you can just tell throughout the years, they just don't sound the way they used to. They don't act the way they used to. They're just different. And you have to think about the accumulation of damage that they've taken throughout the career.
You know who I was impressed by?
Go ahead.
Eddie Alvarez.
Oh, yeah. He's sharp.
Yeah.
But a guy like Diego, who from day one has just been kind of out there, different, I wonder how you would assess that situation. Because you would have to really know him, I think, to notice anything like that, right?
Did you see Embedded One when he was doing all those workouts in the airport? Look at that and go, what happened to Diego? He's been doing that from day one.
Right. So I'm wondering, because like if you took him in for like a psych evaluation, they wouldn't be able to really tell you anything. Because I think they would think like, he's kind of out there, you know, like I think it would really come down to like people that know him on a daily basis that can tell any of that.
Well, I think those tests boil down to what's your daughter's name? Mm-hmm. What high school did you go to? There's a small baseline and then they get to some other stuff. Just kind of like when you get knocked out, what day of the week is it? Who's the president? Who did you just fight? You know, they want to know basically, whoa, are you messed up at this moment? You see that more in boxing than you see it in MMA. But yeah, if it was just somebody sitting having a conversation with Diego, I think they would come to that conclusion. But I think they have their baseline of, well, they keep your tests, so they know where you're dropping off, the certain things you should know. Man, that was something I blanked out on. Remember I told you I'm like Israel Adesanya? I think a lot in the shower. Mm-hmm. He's always mentioning his shower.
Me too. Fight. That's where I come up with my best ideas.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about the last time I saw our cousin Antonio, and I know that I went to Brazil in 2009, and I was like, wait a minute, Ralph didn't go with me. That's when Mark Lehman stepped in. Remember I went for 6 weeks?
Yeah.
And I was like, did East Coast go with me? Because I was thinking about your video. I was like thinking, did I send it to everybody that's not on Facebook? If somebody's not on Facebook, they wouldn't know to check the video. And I couldn't remember about Kernan. And I was wondering, when's the last time I saw Kernan? I couldn't remember if it was here. I knew I saw him here in Vegas. He lived with me in 2006. But I couldn't remember. I go, wait a minute. I think he's the one that went to Brazil with me in 2009. Because I don't think I went by myself. And I know Big Ralph.
But that wasn't the last time you saw Antonio.
No.
Yeah.
It was 2000.
He came here, remember?
Yeah. No, so I was just jumping around. So I get that. But I was like, whoa, if somebody asked me certain questions. And then I started thinking, I really need to open up all my Apple laptops and get all those pictures onto one actual hub. What do you call that? A drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just before I lose them all, because I have great memories from my trips and the pictures. When I go through pictures, like yesterday when it was your birthday, I was looking through and I was going to post something. And then I just wound up just posting the video. You go through these pictures and I'm like, holy shit, I forgot about that. A lot of stuff in the studio.
Somebody posted a picture where I swear to God I look like Jabba the Hutt. I could not believe, like even me, and I know what I look like. I was like, what? Like, dude, that had to have been either that or it was Photoshopped. I couldn't believe it. But I couldn't stop laughing because anytime you bring up East Coast, do you remember? I don't remember who it was. But do you remember somebody was in studio and he just walked in and handed them a nimble?
Was it John Morgan and he handed it to you?
No, I want to say it might have been Dan Stepp.
I'm pretty sure it was John Morgan.
And they were just kind of like...
East Coast had lost some money and he was handing it over because I was going to California to hand it over. But I was the third person in between East Coast and me. And so he had to hand it. I think it was to John Morgan. And John Morgan made that face like, what's going on here? It was like $4,000 or $6,000, right?
Yeah, it was a big stack. And it was very obvious. We had to pass it like under the table, and he was kind of giving me a look like, what the fuck was that?
East Coast is a space cadet, man, because he should have just waited, but he likes to drop off and go. And I'm like, bro, you couldn't wait till the break? You know, like that was a little awkward, handing it over or whatever, because people might assume I'm the bookie.
It's live. Something. Like, you forget there's a camera.
Yeah. I forgot. I was going to say something else. Anyway, if I remember, I'll come back to it. But yeah, you want to know something? Huh? I went to, well, I handed you your gift. I got it at Nike Town. Mm-hmm. It was creepy, man. It was creepy because I went to Caesar's Palace. And when I go, I need to get it done in 60 minutes or less or I get charged parking.
They still do it at Caesars?
No. The valet used to be free right by the Caesars Forum Shop. You just tip them $3 or whatever. Boom, done. But then they started charging for all parking and valet. So now I would just bite the bullet. I'd go all the way to the top of the parking structure, go down the elevator, walk to Nike Town, and I can usually shop and get it all done, come back, punch the ticket, and it's free. Otherwise, you get to that first hour where it's $8 or $10 or something like that because I don't have their player's card. However, when I went, there's no charging for parking. So I could walk around Caesar's Palace. I walked around a little bit. Dude, I had some nostalgia when I was walking through. I walked around. I wanted to get my 10,000 steps in. I wanted to see what was new at Caesar's Palace because now, well, hold on. I should say it like this. I went straight to Nike Town. It was a ghost town. I was hoping that it was open, but it wasn't. It didn't open till 11. When I walked by all those shops, all that hustle and bustle, it was kind of empty. And
even Cheesecake Factory?
Cheesecake Factory was empty. Well, no, they just weren't open. But yeah, it was empty at the time. But nothing going on. Thank God the Atlanta show's been canceled temporarily. No one around that.
They have goldfish in that tank?
The apples.
They had goldfish in the tank?
Yeah.
And Get the fuck out of here. I
saw a little shark and everything.
Oh, no. I meant like, you know, taking out all the exotic ones and they just put goldfish in there.
Well, they have so many fish, I just figured there was a goldfish in there. But and what was I saying? Oh, Atlanta show was empty. Yeah, it was so sad to go by the Apple store and said store closed. Our stores are closed.
Town Square, too.
They did it, too?
Yeah.
I thought they had reopened.
No.
I thought the numbers were being knocked down. I thought these things were getting better.
Well, all the other stores were open, but the Apple store, I think, is just that's their thing. They're just not open.
All Apple stores?
I think so.
Damn. I called someone that said, if you come in, we can help you get everything on one drive. We'll give you some money for your old, it's part of the recycling program. And, you know, I was going to buy a new drive, and that way I can have all my videos and pictures and stuff like that. From all the different computers. Because I have cool... trip to Germany.
Afghanistan.
I mean, Brazil, Peru. I have a lot of stuff. And everything hasn't always transferred over. You know what I mean? But anyway, this was after my stress test. So I got there. It was like 10. Shit, I go... I couldn't remember if Goz and I had agreed, gifts or no gifts. But I go, I don't care. I'm just going to get him something anyway. So then I walked around Caesar's Palace just to get familiar. When I walked through Caesar's, I remembered where Crow Cop was playing blackjack, and I wanted to bother him at the time. We were just fans. We go, nah, we'll see him later. Of course, we didn't wind up seeing him later, but that would have been a good chance because I remember him getting off the table and doing a couple signatures, but he kept jumping in because I think he was either throwing dice or playing blackjack or something. And then I remembered walking through the lobby, and that's where you took a picture, I think, with Overeem and Coleman, and you guys ran into Nick Diaz and Mark Hunt checking in. I was remembering all that stuff. Remember Trigg's Sweet Party as well? I remembered I saw that. So I was walking around. I remember I walked by the Bacchanal Buffet, which is shut down. I remember Junkie Gathering. We went to the Bacchanal Buffet one time. Caesars is really expanded and added quite a few things. Their pool's open, by the way. But I was walking around, and just walking around Caesars, it had been a while, but I remembered like where we went in for the nightclub, the Trigg's party, things like that.
Nick Diaz was a fan that day because we were checking in, and he was standing right next to me, and he was like, "Wow, it's Mark Hunt." And then he goes, "He's so tiny." He goes, "Are you sure that's Mark Hunt?"
I'm like, "Oh yeah, Mark Hunt, yeah."
And I go, "Yeah, I'm positive." And he's like, "There's no way that's Mark Hunt." He goes, "Dude, look how small he is." He goes, "There's no way that's Mark Hunt." But you could tell because of the tattoos. I go, "The tattoos match." I'm like, "Look, you didn't even have the internet back there where I could go look." We had flip phones, but we didn't have.
Nobody's trying to type ABC.
Nah, that shit. But I remember he was just kind of like a fan. He was fighting Takanori Gomi on that card. And he was just kind of. Just
remember how fucked up his face was at the end of the night?
Oh, at Subway, dude. Oh, my God. It was horrible. That same day is the day that you almost got me killed by Hammerhouse. We were walking. And then you go, "Hey, Goz, you still think you could fuck up Mark Coleman or something like that?" And I was like, that's like a weird thing to say. We're just walking the elevators. So I didn't really say much. I was just like, that. None of that made any sense. Yeah, I could still, you know. And he was right behind me with Wes Sims, Kevin Randleman.
But wasn't it obvious I was joking?
It was. But when I turned around, he just went like this. He snarled and put his face. But all that happened so quickly. But I just remember I kind of just blew it off because it was like, that's just a weird thing to say on the way to the elevators. I didn't really know what was going on. And then there he was. But after that, like every time I would run into him, he would kind of just give me a look like he would remember it. He was cool.
So I walked around, got a little breakfast, did the whole spacing thing. That was my first time eating in a public place.
Mm-hmm. Food court?
The food court.
You got a good food court.
So what I did was I got my coffee in a sundries, went through the whole process, you know, antibacterials everywhere. And then, you know how much Caesar's Palace charges for that mocha? The cold one we get at everywhere, but basically at a liquor store, two for four.
$13?
No, $7. Huh. It was still out of, way to ruin my story, Goz.
Well, I was going to, because the worst thing I've ever gotten was NyQuil. It was $19.
Yeah. But it was $7. And so then I went, the reason I did that is because when I first walked, Starbucks had a long line. And it was long anyway, but then with the 6 feet spacing, it looked really long. And I go, shit, this is really long, I remember saying. So I go, let me just walk around and do my 10,000 steps and see Caesars. And then I had that nostalgia. And then when I came back, I realized they had this little, it was called Smash Burger. Mm-hmm. And they had breakfast. So, because it was only like 10:30 at that point. But they had no line. But I was like, well, where am I going to get my coffee? And I'm not going to wait in line for Starbucks. And so that's why I stopped in the sundries. I go, now I got the coffee. Let me just go get the sandwich. I went, I got the sandwich. And then you should have seen me, dude. I look like Brooks Hadlin. Remember how nervous he was like when he first got out of a prison, mm-hmm. crossing the street? Bumps. Yeah, remember when he was crossing the street? Hey, get out of the street, old man. That was me walking with like my little tray, trying to figure out, okay, where do I sit down? What do I touch or not touch? Where's my antibacterial? And now I put my mask down. I eat my sandwich. I made sure. I mean, I was within 12 feet of anybody, maybe even more. Everybody looked kind of robotic. They would eat their sandwich, put it down, take their drink, wipe their mouth, eat their sandwich.
Oh, you had your mask on, and then you would take it off.
Oh no, I wouldn't. No, but you know who does that? Matt Erickson.
Yeah.
Matt Erickson, if you're listening, stop it already, right? So yeah, I. He even bragged about it.
I remember the video.
Yeah. So anyway, on this one, I put it down below my chin, and I ate. I eat slow, and then I was done. When it was 10 till, I go, should be open. I'll be the first one there, like Clark Griswold. Mm-hmm. So I went, antibacterialed, walked through. Now there was a few more people, but still nothing like the Caesars Forum shops that everybody knows. And I walked in. You have to go in through a certain entrance. I walked around. I headed towards Dodgers. If you want to know the truth, I headed towards Dodgers. Mm. And I was going to get you a jersey, but then I go, okay, this guy's so particular. He's got a dope Goz jersey. He may not want a player. Kershaw's jumping at me, but I thought, isn't he getting Tommy John? Or, you know, plus he, sorry, goes kind of chokes in the playoffs sometimes. Sometimes, not all the time. And I thought, would he really want that? If he goes to the stadium, is there like 50,000 people there and 45,000 Kershaws? Like, okay. And then they had Betts. And then I go, well, is someone going to go, look who's new to the party? Because isn't Betts only a one-year player so far? Mm-hmm. And then I'm overthinking it, right? And then I go, well, I go, let me walk around or whatever.
The size thing is the toughest, I think, when it comes to baseball jerseys.
Really?
Yeah, because they're kind of made to be big, but at the same time, they can be really big.
I like football jerseys to be big. The other jerseys?
Not me. They're too long, man. I look stupid in them. Like, I already have small legs. So, coming in, I look like a bottle of Avion or some shit. Like, I just got these tiny legs and the thing. Mm-hmm. But I've never gotten a white Dodger jersey. I've always wanted one. Mm. I have a blue one. So I would have dug it, but you're right. I don't normally like players. However, I was looking at the new third kit from Manchester United, and that one I think I would get with the player's name. Mm. So I'd have to go with somebody like Bruno or somebody that I'm pretty sure is at least going to be there the next 5 years or something like that.
Yeah.
I've been burned too many times on just having...
You know, now they have jersey insurance on fanatics.com or whatever it's called.
Really?
Yeah.
It's kind of cool,
kind of, yeah. I agree.
I have a question.
Yeah. I'm sure it's not easy, though. I'm sure it's got to be like, after a year, you're fucked. Or, but I think it's one of those where, well, probably like, it has to do with probably injury or trade more than anything.
How did I ruin your story? And I'm going to ask, because this is what you asked me. How much do you think this drink was? I said, $15. And he said, way to ruin the story.
Because everybody's sitting there going, oh, my God, GG got fucked. I can't wait to hear it. And then when you said 13 and I come back with 7, they're like, come on, GG. It wasn't as bad as the one goes. Wherever he went, he had it for 13. And GG got it for half, and he's complaining. So I
figured, like, how would I answer that question then?
I was hoping you'd say, like, 5 or something.
Oh, no, I've been clowned on coffee.
That's before. Why I even threw in the, you know, the one we get for 2 for $4? So that put it at 2 each.
I thought you were talking about a Starbucks mocha, right?
No, just that little bottle.
Oh.
You get at the gas station.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant, you know, when we're at the studio and we go
No, at the gas station, they're like 2 for $4. So that's why I usually come back and just go, you want
$7?
One? $7.
Those guys are crazy.
Even at the expensive Starbucks at a place that I won't name, even that one is out of control. It's like $5.25. I have to actually fish for a quarter in my pants.
Is that at least the five's
not enough? It was the bigger one.
Jesus.
But I hadn't had one since the pandemic started because I think, well, I lie. I might have gotten the sugar-free ones here at Walmart or something. But regardless, it had been a while. But yeah, I went in there and then I started thinking. I go, maybe I should just not even think of the whole jersey thing. I asked Big Ralph the other day, if the Dodgers do win it, will it feel the same? He goes, yes, it will. And I think that it'll feel the same for me for the Lakers because they really did play most of the season. I think 95% of the season. The baseball season is a little bit different. So I started overthinking it, and then I go, maybe I should just get him something that he may just like or dislike. It might just be a color thing or whatever, and I don't have to worry about, you know, is it crazy enough? Like that third kit, the zebra look. Mm-hmm. Is it zany enough? Did I get the right player or whatever?
But I like the... I just don't want them to wear the shorts with it. Like, if they wear black shorts with it, I'm okay with it.
Me too.
But if they're complete zebras, that's fucking dumb. Like, that has nothing to do with Manchester United.
Yeah.
But it looks kind of cool with the player's name. Because if you don't put the player's name, it's so empty on the back.
Yeah.
Like, it makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah. You know, stupid Greenwood changed his number from 26 to 11. Which I get, those are the iconic numbers, but 26 mm-hmm. is my birthday, and I had thought about getting him. I was hoping he'd hang on to 26 one more year, but whatever. I think 23 is Brandon Williams, by the way, in case you're curious.
I'm okay.
If Gabe became a Manchester United fan, he'd get Juan Bissaka. He's 29. A lot of birthdays. Crazy Mario Tours is today.
Blues coming up, too.
Buffalo Blue.
Well, yeah. The same day as Gabe's.
Yeah. All right. Where did I digress?
The last thing we talked about was if Reyes would be the real champ.
Boy, and that turned into Caesar's Palace?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I threw in some MMA there, folks, just so we wouldn't lose you. We really did run into all those guys in 2006. Pride 32 and 33 were back-to-back here in the United States, and Caesar's Palace was their actual was their actual home. And so we saw all those guys. I think Goz got credentialed through MySpace or
through my Goz's blog.
Yeah. Trigg helped out with that one. Frank Trigg fought on one of the cards. But yeah, we got to see all those guys, man. It was a big deal seeing the shootbox guys. And remember Takanari Gomi with the world's worst warm-up?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, don't get me started on that.
Yeah. So anyway, Kai Kara France, Brandon Royval. I'm not sure where the train derailed, but look, at this point, the card's going to take place on Saturday, folks. Just watch it. And if you don't, join us. Either way, join us for a UFC 253 watch along. I'm looking here. I think it may have spiraled out of control with Diego Goes. Diego Sanchez. And Nick Diaz and cowering up and covering up or whatever. Because I'm looking at it. Here's my notes. And I think that's where I may have gone out of control. I mean, I hope he performs. We've met him in studio a couple times. Super cool guy. But yeah, I guess he looks at it like this, Goes. Hey, guys, I'm willing to go out there, and if somebody looked at me wrong on the mean streets of Albuquerque, I'd probably fight them there. So why not just fight someone who's probably more talented than that guy in Albuquerque, but the random guy in Albuquerque? Mm-hmm. I'll fight them, but guess what? In Albuquerque, in a gas station, I'm not getting paid. Here, I'm taking home a paycheck of $150 or something like that.
I love that.
And that's just for showing up. Huh?
Stefan Bonner being with him. Remember, we interviewed Stefan a couple months ago, like right at the very beginning of the pandemic. And you asked him that exact question. When Diego Sanchez fights, do you kind of feel like, you know, like that's one of your brothers out there? I wouldn't be shocked if that all started there. Because he did have this kind of look on his face like, yeah, we do kind of root for each other. And it's cool to see them together.
Should we tell the editorial about this? Maybe possibly. There's a blue corner there somewhere. Also, see if I can go back and find it. All right, folks. Do you want to talk about Covington real fast? Reebok's already issued a statement along with a few of other UFC sponsors, some directly tied to Colby and some not. I mean, Colby wears the Reebok gear. Monster put one out. Monster's the drink that a lot of fighters hold on to, but he's not a Monster-sponsored athlete. And I'm not sure if Colby's directly is a Reebok sponsored athlete. Some of them having
sponsorship. He's not a Reebok because that was part of their statement.
Okay, so he just wears the kit, and that's, by the way, going away pretty soon. I think mid 2021. It was supposed to end at the end of this year, but before Venom comes in, there's going to be a little bit of a carryover with Reebok, and then they'll be done. But Covington has stayed active on his social media since the fight with Woodley. So even after he said what he had to do, said what he said about, you know, certain athletes, LeBron James, took the call from President Trump, he's been active this week. And, you know, he's called Black Lives Matter a sham and things like that. And so now it's going to be a little bit different for him. The UFC is still saying, the lead story on MMA Junkie right now was the headline. I want to get this right. White on Covington backlash. He says, we don't muzzle anybody here. Well, you better start thinking about it, because this one's a way more serious topic than his sister slid into my DMs or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, this is pretty serious. The UFC has a lot of partners. And what happens is when companies do step up and do that, folks, I know a lot of you feel like, oh my God, buzzkill, I thought this was America. No, what they're doing is they're trying to squash something that could get bigger. What if two or three more Kobes come? What if they push the line even further? And I mean, not to say that Kobe hasn't already stepped over the line, you know, and that's the way corporate America works. There's going to be a lot of people that say, hey, look, Reebok, Coca-Cola, Monster, whoever. This is what this group that you're affiliated with is saying, and guess what? We're gonna stop buying your product. And so a lot of companies make their decisions, sadly, based on that rather than just, is it morally right or not? Is it something that you stand for or not? But that's just the way the world works.
I think he's got to be careful that those words don't come back and haunt him later. because, yeah, there have been some things with sponsors like Brock Lesnar. Remember when
Bud Light?
Yeah, the Bud Light thing and all that. Like, he's just got to be careful.
I've tried to give him this pass of he's within shtick. I remember growing up, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Sergeant Slaughter, and the Iron Sheik and the stuff that they would go back from. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of you think, oh, the Twin Towers, one of the saddest events ever in our lifetime, for sure. That was like some sort of a birth of terrorism. I mean, the Twin Towers got attacked, I think, in the 90s once, some bomb. I think it was in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of stuff started. There's been a lot of tension, you know, with Iran. I remember, I think, 78 or something like that. I remember, I'm 51, guys. And so the Cold War in the 80s with Russia. So we've had a lot of problems internationally over time. And it's stuff that was exploited by WWF at the time, now WWE, which we all felt like, well, it was all within character. It didn't carry over. And so I want to give them a little bit of that old school pass on some of that stuff, where if they're building for fights and both guys are participating, because look, the younger generation, sorry guys, you are a little bit more sensitive. A lot of us put up with more of that, but I get it. As we discover more, if you know, whatever. The show needs to end right pretty soon here, and I don't want to add another hour to it. But I've tried to give them a certain pass with certain things because of Kobe in shtick. But Kobe also needs to realize there's, like, goes, so there's going to be some repercussions if you keep pushing it. The fight ended 5 days ago, 6 days ago, or whatever, you know, and the carryover is, are you still in shtick? Aren't we interviewing Colby Covington? You know, like, what's the deal here?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, and I also think Dana, like, Dana, if you're going to say that, then remember 2 years from now or whatever, if a fighter says something that you don't like and you shut him down, people are going to remember, well, I thought you let your fighters say, you know, express themselves and this and that. So, I don't know.
What did you think of when he said, go back to your village or something like that to Usman?
That was smoke signals or something like that, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Yeah, that's too much.
So, Usman has been in the United States for a long time, but he's originally from Nigeria. So, that's what he's saying. Your tribe. I've heard him say different mm-hmm. versions. See, a lot. See, that's where I'm trying to process it. Like, is that shtick? Is that Iron Sheikish to Sergeant Slaughter or Hacksaw Jim Duggan or whatever? So is it along the lines of that?
I was trying to figure out.
Because remember, the Americans would push back on Iron Sheik as well.
Oh, yeah.
How does that work? Piper. Piper's beloved because we all got that it was a shtick of him being a heel. You saw, I don't know if Goes and I have shared recently our story of
blackface and everything,
of being with Roddy Piper. But again, what characters were allowed to do then and what they're allowed to do now, it's all completely different. But there's fans that are 70 years old in MMA. Our dad is an MMA fan. He's 76, excuse me. He would probably not think it's as big of a deal. And then there's younger fans that are probably, you know, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Dana White has to figure out what is right, where are the limits, and usually it's more on the conservative side when it comes to that. Hazmat Shimaev is getting a 5-round fight, he's saying, right? So he's mm-hmm. not going to be a fight island.
In Las Vegas.
Would you like it to be like, what if I just go, it's Theon Edwards goes.
Done. Cool. Yeah. That's a great fight.
Okay, not too soon?
No, not the way he's been performing, right?
Mm-hmm. It's Damian Maia goes.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't prove too much.
It's Wonder Boy goes.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, okay. So Hamzat has impressed you enough that he can kind of jump that queue past a lot of others and get to those names.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Look, folks, hit MMA Junkie up every 15 minutes on Fight Week. There's a ton of stuff. We've already gone through our third embedded. The embedded series, of course, follows all the fighters throughout the week from their original countries or cities, through Las Vegas, all the way back to Yas Island. They've already gone through some press days and conferences. Remember, they're like 12 hours ahead. A lot of the stuff is, it's 7 p.m. out there, I believe. So just head to MMA Junkie, and there's lots of stuff there on our front page for you to process and get ready for the big fights on the weekend. And don't forget to hit up our YouTube page, youtube.com/MMA Junkie. A lot of the videos that sometimes just slip through the cracks, these press conferences from start to finish, whether it's pre-fight, post-fight, the extended interviews with a lot of these fighters, they are all there. Check it out. You're going to dig it. And yeah, we're gonna bounce on out of here. Last plug for our watch along on Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Watch the fights along with us on Saturday. We will be there. Go to www.sportscaster.com/junkie/MMA junkie. And if for whatever reason you forget about it, when you're looking through the MMA Junkie website, you will see a reminder, Gorgeous George and Goes on Sports. Just click there and it'll take you directly to the link for you to watch the fights with us on Saturday. All right, with that, we bid you adieu. Enjoy your week. Be safe out there. Go out there and be a champion.